We thank you, Father, for making yourself known to each of us, showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. God of loving waters, we confess that we have been turning from you and wandering on our own at times in fear and doubt. We ask you now to teach us through your word so that we may turn to you and be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at your bulletin this morning, the announcement on the front, God sees us with love even when we feel failure. Hold on to that. God sees us with love. We truly give thanks to the Lord for the wells of salvation that he has offered to each of us. And as we do drink from the well, we will find healing grace, hope, and joy, for God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I will be reading from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 reminds us how God is holding the whole world in his hands. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah and as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness. Where your ancestors tested me, they tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This psalm is a reminder to those who have doubts about the Lord. He indeed is in control. Spiritual joy is at the heart of thanksgiving, at the heart of thankful praise. It is with enthusiasm and joy that we should lift our voices to him, love him, praise him, admire him, and urge others to love him. God is worthy to be praised. Hardness of the heart only leads to distrust of the Lord. That must be miserable, a miserable spot to be in, distrusting the Lord. We need to keep our eyes open and to be aware of the sins of others, for those sins are a warning to us not to follow them. It was in Meribah that the Israelites quarreled with Moses about the lack of water. And Massah is a word for testing, as the Israelites were asking God to prove his faith over and over again. There was testing in the wilderness. We are encouraged to listen. We talked about listening last week. Listen for his voice. Listen to his voice. Respond and praise God in faith as he provides for our needs, every one of our needs. As believers move into a deeper communion with God, we enter into a place of rest. In today's world, that's what we desire, a place of rest, knowing we are safe, knowing we are loved. An unbelieving heart will not be at rest. An unbelieving heart leads to questioning, searching, wondering, and not feeling content. I am a walker, and so as I was walking, what I like to do is either sing songs or talk to myself while I'm walking. And so while I was walking the last 2 weeks in my stride, God is good, life is good. God is good, life is good. And I'm walking and I'm out in nature and I'm saying that to myself because it's true. God is good and life is good. We have so many blessings. Pastor Jerome Creech writes, "Praise is more than words lifted heavenward. It is an expression of faith, and it should be lived out in faithfulness and trust. Trust that God is with you and watching over you. There is no need to test the love of our Lord. He is present. He is present here. Know that God will provide even when we are not seeing it and not feeling it. God will provide. Make a joyful noise and come into his presence with thanksgiving. My walk words, God is good, life is good. Or my friend that yells, hallelujah. Sometimes at Camp Meneland, I'd get my whole cabin of girls. Every time something good would happen, they'd say, go God, right? Remind yourself, say it out loud. God is good. So Moses went on a road trip with the Israelites. First of all, packing and moving and then keeping everybody happy on a road trip is not the easiest thing to do, right? Are we there yet? I'm hungry. Can we stop to go to the restrooms? So Moses was learning as he was going. He was learning of the grace and the glory of God. I'd like to share from Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 1 to verse 7. Road trip with Moses. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why do you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? And then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? He cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb and strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, we know that wherever there are people, there will probably be some problems inching in. And at the beginning of this journey into the wilderness, the problems were arising. The people were hungry, scared, and incredibly thirsty. And they were wondering, why would the Lord lead us to this place of no water? And they wondered, why has this trial been placed upon them? Why do we as people find it easy and seemingly comfortable to blame someone else when something goes wrong? They weren't going to look at themselves and ask for forgiveness, right? It was Moses who led them there. And we all do that. Moses thought they were so angry with him that they would be throwing stones at him. Under the fear of attack, but always keeping close to God, he knew that he could turn to God, which he did in prayer. And he moved on doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. Moses picked up his rod, recalling God's power during the passing through the Nile River, and he continues with confidence in God. He strikes the rock, and the water flows out. God was with them. Each step of the way, he was with them. The people forgot to look for him. The people chose to complain and blame. This remarkable, meaningful, and generous miracle of God's provision allowed the people to become trusting believers. They began to guard their heart from those who did not believe. We need not and should not fall in line with grumblers. We know grumblers. Sometimes we become grumblers. Snap out of it. Don't fall in line with grumblers. Don't have that mindset. How can God let this happen? This leads to doubting. Doubting his power, his wisdom, and his love. Don't question, why am I here at this point? Do not judge God, asking him to prove himself to you. Having breakfast with Bradley and his friend, which was such a joy, brought us back to the time where he was diagnosed with leukemia. And I know I shared this story before, but he couldn't find his orange binder. But this binder is about as thick as the binder was. But the physicians had given to us, saying to us, this is the next 3.5 years of your life. You will be at this doctor's appointment on this day, and this is the pills that he'll take. You'll have to bring him to Philadelphia for a shot on this day. It was 3.5 year calendar of this chemotherapy journey that we would take. I was beyond scared. And I gave thanks. I gave thanks for the parents that allowed their children to go through the trials of the medications so that my Bradley would have a chance at surviving. It was God who let my mind go in that direction. Stop and seek the Lord in prayer. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This is Jesus crying out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's John 7, verse 37 and 38. How I prayed and trusted and prayed for the doctors and did my Bible study books. How I turned to Jesus. It was the only way that I could make it. And then others would say, how come you're so strong? How can you do this? I don't think I was very strong. I cried an awful lot. I had a pantry in my kitchen that I would go into because I didn't want the boys to see me crying. I cried in my pantry. I'm a pantry crier. But I turned to God. I turned to God. We know that God's love applied into our lives, just God's love, will not save us. It is through the death of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is able to save us. Jesus' death and resurrection allowed the spiritual blessings to flow like living waters to those who would believe. When people said, oh my gosh, how are you doing this? You seem so strong. I really hope they saw Jesus in my heart. And my quest to continue to trust that God was in control. Jesus becomes our rock in a weary land. And that is at times that our lands are filled with grumblers. He's our rock. Because he loves us, he made us alive with Christ. Spend time with him in his word. Know, accept, and trust his word. Jesus brings us peace and hope. Turning to Romans 5. Romans 5. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we stand now, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What matters most is the love we have through Jesus. He has loved us when there was nothing within us to love. I have felt that love. Theologian Charles Spurgeon has written, "Boast about God and promise the glory of God. Boast about God and be thankful for what we have received. Our God does not change. Oh, how he loves us. It is through Jesus we have peace with God." You will say, writes Spurgeon, "Oh, I am one of the worst in the world." Christ died for the worst in the world. "Oh, but I have no power to be better." Christ died for those who were without strength. "Oh, but my case condemns itself." Christ died for those that legally are condemned. "Aye, but my case is hopeless." Christ died for the hopeless. He is the Savior, not of those partly lost, but of those wholly lost. Think about those men and women you saw in the streets in the city, Jake. Christ died for the hopeless. Not for those partly lost, but for those wholly lost. Will we wrestle with things that come at us from different directions? Yes, but with his holy plan of salvation, we will be able to stand with hope, the hope of God, in all situations. We are reconciled to God, and we are able to walk in the way of God. Our access to Jesus and to the presence of God is never taken from us. We have access to him in our cars, in our homes, through prayer, at all these places, at the mall, at the restaurants. While we're meeting with construction workers, we have access to God and at our friends' homes. We have access when our life hurts. We have access to Jesus when our life seems to be falling apart. Come into his presence. Come into his presence purposefully. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We have received that gift of hope. Jesus has declared himself to be the source of living water, the wellspring of life everlasting. With the living water of our hearts and minds, may we strive for meaning and direction in our lives. Meaning and direction in our lives and for others. Joseph Worthlin has written, "Let us work with all our hearts, might, and mind and strength to show our thirsty brothers and sisters where they may find the living water of the gospel, that they may come to drink of the water that springs up unto everlasting life." A few weeks ago, we put our stones in a bowl up here. They were stones of our temptations and perhaps the temptations that would lead us to sin. I'm going to pour some water into the bowl representing God's loving spirit. It is our prayer to become filled with the joy of the Lord. Know that he forgives us. Our sins and our temptations have been covered by the love of Jesus. I pray that this week you all have the opportunity to share about God's love for you, for us, with someone else, especially during this Easter season. Let them know, let others know that God is loved. Loves them. God loves them. Let's pray together. Come into our hearts, dear Lord. Shower us with grace. Loving God, just as I have poured the water into the bowl, please fill us with your loving spirit. It is our prayer to become filled with your spirit so that others see your love shining in us. Help us to become fountains of your loving water and to show your love and kindness to others in the midst of a very thirsty world. May we pause at this time to ask that the conflicts of this world would come to an end. We think of Ukraine and Russia at this time. Wherever there is war, may your love shine brightly in the hearts of the believers. Father, we ask that you open the hearts of the world leaders at this time. May they turn to you as their Savior and Lord. Peace, Lord. Peace is our prayer. Amen.